It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even unto Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I'm glad God knows our sorrows. Amen. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and most of the times preachers will say, and the termites, yes. Now therefore, he says, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. We're going to be talking here in the next couple of weeks on listening to the voice of God. Isn't it amazing, first off, to think that God wants to talk to you or me? And as I think of this story, I had to go in my office. You saw me slip out. I have a picture hanging in there, one of my favorite pictures of all time. When I saw this, I just had to order this. It's the burning bush here. And it's where God declared himself as the I am that I am. You know, that great, he's known as the great I am. This is what God spoke to Moses through, was this burning bush. But the greatest thing about this painting isn't that it says I am that I am, and it's the burning bush, but it actually has the word I am in the flames, if you notice. If you catch it, you'll have the word, the letter I here coming down, and if I get it right, here's the I here going up, and then here's the A, and then here's the M going up here. So somebody was really creative putting the I am in the flame, and I just caught me, and I thought, oh, help me, Lord, to listen to your voice. You're the great I am, and I need, he's not the great I hope to be, or once was, he's the great I am, very present. Help in trouble, the Bible tells us. So here we are in this area with Moses at the burning bush. And understand that God speaks to us anywhere he pleases, all right? It's amazing that you can be wherever. He was in the middle of the desert, and God got his attention to speak to him. And we simply just need to be attentive. We need to make sure that we are actively listening for the voice of God when he speaks, no matter where you are. And we're going to see that in this lesson here, God speaks to us usually in our everyday activities. It wasn't like he was on a big conference somewhere. God can speak to you at a good Bible conference. I was just talking to some friends that have one of their children down at Pensacola. They're having Bible conference week down there. Great preachers. God will speak to those kids down there at that Bible conference. But Moses wasn't at a big conference. He was by himself in the desert. And God spoke to him. So today's lesson that we're going to try to cover part of at least is, and this is the thing I want you to catch, is the reactions of Moses when God speaks to him at the bush. Because you and I have reactions when we hear God speak to us about something, we have a reaction to that. Now it's interesting, if you do a study, and this was not part of my notes, but this is something that I just remember years ago. When you look up the word word, W-O-R-D in scripture, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He spoke the word. That word that you'll look up in the Greek is usually the word logos, L-O-G-O-S, logos. And it's talking about the general word of God. But there are times when God speaks to people and he uses the word, and the Lord spoke unto someone and said, and they don't use the word logos. It's not a general thing. It's the word R-H-E-M-A, rhema, rhema. And when God is speaking to the nation of Israel, he speaks a logos to them. You know, or if he's speaking John 3:16, he's speaking to all the world, he's speaking logos to them. the word. But when he speaks to individuals, he always uses the word rhema. It's a specific. Have you ever been reading the scriptures in your time of reading, and God brings a passage just at the right time, what you need right then, specifically for your need? Anybody ever had that happen? If you've been a Christian any length of time, that should happen quite frequently. That is actually a rhema. God is giving something to you personally at that moment. You're reading the Logos, but he gives you a rhema, what you need for the now situation. And here we have Moses is reacting to how God is speaking to him. And when God is speaking to me, when God is speaking to you, he may be reading the Logos, but all of a sudden he'll give a rhema to me, and it'll just minister to where I am at that point in time. When I was pastoring over at Fair Park, there was a time as I'm reading and studying that God gave me a rhema that it was time for me to move on. And it was a very specific passage of scripture that he gave me. But I want us to see something, that we react just like Moses reacts. And we're going to see a contrast here this afternoon compared to this morning of one that was a failure and one who was a great success in the eyes of God. And it's all because of what he does with the word of God ultimately. Now this right here, as we get into chapter 3, is a very, I guess I'd call it a very pivotal point for Moses and his life and where God's going to direct him. So there's some principles I want us to see as we go through this that I think will help us that God has for Moses. First off, we want to see that Moses gave his attention. Moses gave God his attention. We read back in verse number 1, and Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. He's done this time and time again. This is nothing new. It's his everyday activity. And then it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, and the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses says, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him. Very, very important, the timing of all this. God spoke to his servant Moses. And if you're a child of God, if you've been born again, you and I are all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going about his every regular, everyday duties, folks. This was not some special vacation or conferences we made mention. He's doing his normal everyday duties, and God spoke to him there. I think of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, when they're trying to find a bride for Isaac. And God made it very clear and directed Eliezer to where he should be. And Eliezer said, I've been in the way the Lord led me. God is leading Moses that day. You see, we don't know ever what, when we get up each day, what God has prepared for us and what he wants to share with us individually. And Moses thought it was just a normal, ordinary day, taking the sheep out, bringing them back later in the evening. But it's wonderful to see, as we look at this, that God is faithful in reaching out to each one of us as his children, and especially those that are willing to follow him. And Moses was, I believe, eager to follow God. I believe he's ready to follow God. That's why God selected him. As we faithfully follow God, follow his leading, follow his assignments that he has for us, he clearly will speak to us continually, step by step, on what he would have us to do. He will give complete directions. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not to your own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what's he going to do? He's going to direct our steps. And that's exactly what he wants to do with Moses here. And this is exactly what he wants to do with each one of us. Now, as we see here in our story here, that God can use many different methods to speak to us. He can use a bush. He can have a bush that can be caught, be out in the middle of the desert. It catches on fire and it doesn't even burn. It doesn't consume itself. And by the way, I think that this was a common, ordinary thing in the desert. I don't think it was spectacular that Moses saw a bush that was burning. I think when it's in the desert, the heat would get intense enough and they would become dry enough that they could ignite and catch on fire. That's not what got Moses. What got Moses is he saw the bush, but he saw that it had not burnt. It wasn't being consumed. That's what got his attention. That's why he calls it this great, what did he say it was here? Verse, where did I see it? Anyway, it's called it great something here, one of the verses there I saw. Great sight. So It was a great sight that it was not being consumed. It just kept burning and burning and burning. And here's what God used, folks, was a bush that was burning to get his attention. And then when he turned aside to see this great sight, God spoke to him. God gave Moses a rhema, something that was going to be specifically for him, as God was going to use him as an instrument later. As I made mention, don't be surprised what God uses to speak to you. Balaam had a donkey talk to him. I want you to think about that one. That's one of those fable ones, right? Is that a fable? Fiction? No. And if you read the story about that, he was being so stubborn that he was showing that a donkey's not even as stubborn as you are. Finally, the angel's standing there, and finally he's beating on that donkey, and donkey, hey, what have I done? What? You know? It's like they were showing a guy with a police dog checking people for drugs as they're coming in. And the dog was trained to do something so that the guy would know that there was drugs on a person. And this old lady's walking through, and all of a sudden the dog responds and it does whatever it's supposed to do. And he goes, could you stop there? He goes, my dog has just told me that you have drugs and that maybe you're on drugs. And he goes, you're the one that's got the dog talking to you. What are you talking about, you know? Okay, never mind. You guys ate way too much pizza. Let me break it down for you. Okay, this guy has this dog, and they can sniff out drugs. And the dog was responding to this person as if they were on drugs. And he said, my dog told me you've got drugs or you're on drugs. And the person said, you're the one that has a dog talking to you, okay? Well, let me try it one more time, all right? No. See, you guys have, Moses had a bush speaking to them. Balaam had a dumb donkey speaking to him. You guys have me. And it's not going over real well, all right? Samuel heard God call in the nighttime. In the stillness of the night, he heard the voice of God, Samuel, Samuel. Isaiah had God speak to him in a vision out of the temple. Jonah God used a great storm and a great fish to get his attention, right? And to begin to speak to him. And then, of course, Saul of Tarsus had the light from heaven come down and the voice of Jesus Christ himself. Folks, God is not limited on the tools that he can use. He even says that if we don't praise him enough, he says that the rocks will cry out. The rocks will begin to praise him. I think we're going to be surprised on what heaven's really like. The Bible says that one day that the trees will clap their hands and the mountains will shout. I think we're going to see things that are, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, they'll be. I think we're going to be surprised what it's about. What I'm trying to get at here, though I haven't succeeded with the joke telling, is we need to be seeking to be sensitive to whatever method God may choose to speak to you and to me and wherever we may be. We might not be at a Bible thing. We might not be anywhere particular. You might be on the job or going to the grocery store, and God will speak something to you specifically about a need or a burden. Now, notice what we see, a couple of things here real quickly here as we look at this, that Moses gave us. First off, we see the bush was burning. The bush was burning. And as I made mention, I don't think that it was necessarily a strange thing to see or an uncommon thing, but the interesting thing to note is this, is that the angel of the Lord did not speak. The angel of the Lord did not speak to Moses until he first drew near. Notice in our text here, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of the fire, verse 2, out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him. You see, it wasn't until as he's walking along and he looks over here and he sees this bush burning, it's not until he looks over and sees it and he begins to draw near to it. When we begin to draw near to God, when we turn and he has our attention, then he begins to speak. James tells us to draw near to God and he will draw near to us in James 4:8. Matthew 11:28, Jesus gives the promise where he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. This is a conditional promise. So the angel of the Lord, or the Lord himself, did not begin to speak to Moses till Moses began to draw near. This burning bush conversation, folks, is about to change the direction of Moses' life. He's about to redirect him. He's no longer going to maintain being a shepherd. He has prepared him. He has trained him. He has learned to walk with God. Now he's going to listen to God so that he can go and declare the truths of God to other people. You see, if what he does here at this point, if he doesn't pay attention and listen to God, God cannot use him to go and declare God's word. If you don't listen to God's word yourself, you cannot go and declare God's word to others. This is what made Moses such a great prophet. He's held in high esteem even of the Jews today because of his greatness in his walk with God. Notice also it says that the bush was not consumed. Again, I think that Moses had seen bushes before burning. But what made this one particular was that it was not consumed. It was not burning up. I think we all understand that our God is the great creator God. The Bible says that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He made all the physical world. He has everything in control. And this is just another simple, awesome demonstration of what he can do as he pleases. He's the ruler of heaven and earth, the Bible says. And to catch a bush on fire and it not be consumed is an amazing thing. Especially if we understand how nature usually would be in this situation. God is desiring to demonstrate his glory is what he's doing with Moses in the burning of this bush. Now, I want you to look at a second thing here, is that not only did he give his attention, but look at verse 5. He says, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face from him, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, not only does Moses give God his attention, he secondly gives God his reverence. He reveres God. Folks, that's what's missing a lot today. Listen, not in the world, but even among the church of God. Many people do not have a reverence for who God is. And so Moses humbly responds to God's presence, the bush at that time burning, and to his command by taking off his shoes. And God tells him in the next verse to remove thy shoes from off thy feet, for the ground which thou standest on is holy ground. You see, God can make anything holy. You see, the ground that you and I are walking on is actually cursed. But when God declares something that is cursed holy, he has the authority and the power to make it exactly that. He's done that with you and me, has he not? We are cursed with the cursed. And yet God, by his saving grace, has said that now we are saints. We are the holy ones of God. And so he humbly responds to God's presence. He humbly responds to God's command by removing his shoes. And I've shared this before. In this text here, this is nothing new. In this text here where he tells him to take off his shoes, remember, there's only twice in Scripture where God asks somebody to remove their shoes. And the first one is with Moses right here. He removes his shoes. He says, remove the shoes from off thy feet, for the ground which thou standest on is holy. The only other time he says that is to Joshua, who takes his place down the road, and he does something a little bit different there, correct? And he tells him to remove his shoe, singular, from off his foot, singular. So he only had to remove one off of one foot, where Moses had to remove two off of 2 feet. The scripture doesn't tell us why he told Joshua just one shoe off of one foot. My speculation, and this is just Kevin Heimer version, all right? This is the KHV, all right? And I think Joshua lost a leg in battle. He was a soldier. He led all the battle. It may have been the one when Moses had to have his hands up and let him down. I think there may have been a time when they come down and Joshua got, because they remember Israel started losing during that time. I'm not saying that's fact. I may find out I'm wrong. And that might not even really matter in the whole picture thing. But what it does matter is it doesn't matter what your handicap is. Hello? That would be a handicap if you was only one-legged, right? Doesn't matter what your handicap is. If you're yielded to God, God will still use you. And you're still holy unto him. So it's very important that we see that he understands the reverence. And I'll tell you what, sometimes the Bible teaches a lot that we can pray in a variety of stances. We can pray standing, correct. We can pray lifting up holy hands. We can pray while we are sitting. We can pray while we're kneeling. We can pray while we're prostrate on the ground. All of those are found in Scripture. But I'll tell you what, sometimes it takes a lot more to bend the knee and to get down before him than it does. It's easier to pray sitting up or walking. But sometimes I think there's a time when God calls on Kevin. Kevin, I want you to pray, and I want you to bow down right now and kneel down. And that's a reverence. That's a different reverence. But I'm not saying the other ways are wrong, because we see it all in Scripture. But I want you to see why he had him do it. Now that he has his attention, now that he has Moses' reverence, he will begin to speak to Moses. And the first thing he declares to him is, holy, holy, holy. You're on holy ground. You need to understand who is speaking to you. If you were to look up this passage in the book of Acts referring back to this, both of them declare that he was standing on holy ground. New Testament is looking back, saying Moses was standing on holy ground. Old Testament is saying Moses is standing on holy ground. We don't have to wait for some special sign or some miracle to realize the holiness of God. That is his character at all times. And when we enter into his presence, we are entering into his holiness. Remember, when Christ died on the cross, the temple and the veil rent from the top to the bottom. And no man could go in there except the high priest, or else they would be killed because of the holiness of God. And now that veil is rent, and the veil represented the body of Christ, because he talks about now we can enter in that veil, which is to say through his flesh, and enter into the holy of holies by the blood of Christ. So we see that he was on holy ground. Hebrews chapter 9, it's got a good verse there. I'm going to go ahead and read it real quick. Hebrews 9 says something in verse number 11 on. Somebody's receiving a call. I don't know if it's from God or not. I had to do a wedding, part of a wedding, this weekend, Friday. It was for y'all. Anybody who ever watched the 16 or 19 kids in County? What is it called? Huh? Yeah, Counting On Now or something like that. The Duggar family, and they got married to one of the young ladies we know. And so, thank the Lord, I'm not the pastor of Fair Park, so I didn't have to do a wedding. But they asked me to do the welcome. Glad for everybody to be here. Yada yada yada. If you please silence your cell phones, so it doesn't disrupt the service, you know, and or else everybody's going to look at you and you're going to feel real funny, because I'm going to say, I'll point them out, though. But I don't know why I brought that up. Somebody's phone rang. That's what it was. Whose phone was that, by the way? Who will raise their hand and confess? It was me. Bud. No, Bud's going like this. He threw her under the bus, man. No, I'm not messing with you. Well, I kind of am messing with you, but I'm not messing with you. Hebrews 9, look what it says in verse number 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve. Look at that last phrase. To serve. What kind of a God? A living God. The God that Moses is talking with is the God of the living God. How do we know that? He says, I am the God, listen, of Abraham, of your fathers, of Isaac, and of Jacob. I was their God, I am your God. And folks, now Hebrews is telling us he's still our God today. Our God is an awesome God. We sing that song. The ground in which he was standing, the ground on which you and I are standing, sometimes we take lightly our talking with God. I do. And he is, the Bible says, a friend to sinners. But sometimes there's times when we have to listen and be understanding who we are and who he is as the living God. A personal relationship with Saul of Tarsus replaced his religion. He had a form of godliness, if you remember, but he was converted on the road to Damascus. And he came to know this true and living God and understood his holiness. I wonder if the Lord is trying to speak to anybody through an event, through situations that are going on right now in your life, and he just wants you to stop. He's trying to get your attention through an activity of a bush or something like that. He wants you to stop, to recognize he's trying to get your attention, to turn aside, to turn aside. We have a lot of things that are distracting us today. And he wants us just to turn aside to see his holy work and to see what he has for me to do as a part of it. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening in our world. We have laws right now that are going through the House, that have passed the House, that are going into the Senate. If they go, there are going to be some bad, bad laws, folks. And they're going to be attacking the church left and right. We had a good study with our teens today in Hebrews 11 about those that would not deny the faith and suffered for it by incredible torture because they would not recant. I think we're going to get an opportunity to do that. A great privilege to do that. The disciples earlier thought it was a privilege to be beaten for the cause of Christ. He thought that they were worthy to suffer for his namesake. We may have that opportunity given us. And we need to be ever so close to paying attention and being attentive to the one who has declared himself as the Holy One, but he also declared himself, I'm the living God, I'm your God, Michael. I'm your God, Paul. And I want you to trust me, whatever's coming down the pike. So he was on holy ground, and I want you to notice real quickly here, we'll close out with this. He had a humble response. He had a humble response. You see, once Moses realized that God was speaking personally to him, I mean, that's amazing to think about. But once he realized that God was speaking personally to him, he responded by hiding his face. He realized that he was not worthy to look at God because God alone is holy. And it definitely is important that we as believers have brokenness, that we have humility, that we have contriteness, that he has promised to dwell with them that are humble. Isaiah says, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. If we have a contrite and humble spirit, God says, I would love to dwell with you. I would love to spend time with you. I would love to walk with you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? The first thing on the list is humble themselves. And so we see that it's a huge area. A couple of people asked me here a few weeks ago, I'd said the best book that you can read outside of the Bible that will help you and bless you is one that's simply entitled Humility by Andrew Murray. There's a variety of updates and revisions on them, but the one that I was recommending, it's a kind of a green cover. I think it's a potter and a potter's hands forming the pottery. If you have, did you find one, Glenn?
Three.
You found three of them. And how much were those?
$6, $7.
Yeah, those things used to be about 15 or 16, but maybe, I don't know if they're secondhand ones or not. Yeah, it is worth, that book is simply called Humility by Andrew Murray. And it's got a green cover with a potter's hand on it. Have you gotten them yet?
Oh, yeah.
Have you read it yet?
Yeah, two chapters left.
Okay, so is it all right? Any conviction at all?
Yeah,
yeah, okay. But it really helped me. Maybe I have more pride than he does. And it really spoke to me a lot more. I don't know. But it really helped me in my walk with the Lord and understanding the primary thing. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly. I am. Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly. That's one of his number one qualities. And so it's very, very powerful to be of a humble response. And then God says in Isaiah 57:15, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Proverbs 3, verse 34 says, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. James 4, 6 and 10, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Then he says, humble therefore yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And then Peter 1, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And so we see that God is developing a relationship now with Moses from the walk. Now Moses is listening. He's being attentive to the word of God. He's understanding humility. He's understanding reverence. And God's going to begin in our next part of this lesson to show him obedience. Obedience. I'm convinced a lot of disobedience is because there's a lack of reverence of the holiness of God and a lack of not willing to listen to what God says. You understand that disobedience, when people go out and commit a sin, any of us here, when we commit a sin, we have just lived out a belief that we believe. At that moment, when I allow myself to go into a sin, I have, number one, believed a lie, correct? Because I'm going against the truth, if it's against the Word of God. I am believing a lie, and my behavior is acting now on my belief. I'm willing to exchange the truth of God for a lie, and I go out and do this. And that's why some people can sit there and say, I'm going to divorce my spouse because I think God wants me to be happy. Now think about that statement, because I've heard that many, many times. I want to be happy, so I'm going to leave my spouse. So and that's a Christian. So a Christian is believing a lie that by me stepping out of the known will of God into what is against the will of God, divorce, is the right, I'll be happier doing that than staying it. And that's just the power of deceit. And Moses has got to learn the importance of obedience, just like you and I do. And that obedience will only follow humility because we're no longer the authority of our own lives. We're no longer our own authority. You've been bought with a price. And when we are still on our own throne's heart, God cannot use you and he cannot use me. He's preparing us in everyday situations to bring us to a place of complete and total obedience, which was opposite of what we saw with King Saul earlier today. Father, we ask as we go through this study that you'll continue to help us to be attentive to you, Lord, to your word, what you would have. And we ask, Father, that you and you alone would receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to truly be what your scriptures tell us, to be clothed with humility. And I ask, Father, that you'd help us to revere you for who you are as the holy, 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 living God. And we'll be sure to give you the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.